like an office parody of Star Wars.
Yeah, like we need like a space Scranton, some like podunk middle of nowhere. They sell data pads.
Oh man, what would be the comparable? What is shipping paper? It's like, oh, you know what? No. The show is called Tashi Station, and it's about Luke trying to get power converters.
Power converters.
And Leia is the secretary. Like, she plays Pam, sitting at the desk in the corner. C-3PO is the Dwight character.
C-3PO has to be Toby.
Welcome to Death Watch, the Star Wars podcast from a galaxy not so far, far away. I'm Mike Bennett.
And I'm Chris Skull.
Today will be part two of our discussion about the upcoming Star Wars projects announced at the end of last year by Disney.
But before we do that, we want to talk about an interesting statistic about the Mandalorian. Very recently, it actually topped the Nielsen most watched show of all time or something. Oh, no, sorry. It was the American Film Institute.
It's during 1 week.
Yeah, during 1 week. And not just that, it beat out one of the most predominantly watched shows of all time, The Office, which Mike and I are both huge fans of. But that's an interesting statistic because The Mandalorian was only 16 episodes versus The Office had like, what, 200?
Probably close to it.
Yeah.
At least 150.
Some of the statistics that they released, it said that The Office had a total of 1.311 billion minutes watched versus The Mandalorian had, 14.5 billion minutes watched during the year. That's impressive.
That's crazy.
Yeah.
I what's insane is that, you know, The Office has been off the air for 8 years off the air for 8 years. And this was like a season finale, but whatever. I think it is a nod that this is not only a show for the nerds and whatever. This is a most watched show of the year in the top 10 series. So very cool.
Yeah. I mean, that kind of makes me think, I wish we had an Office type show based in the Star Wars universe.
like an Office parody of Star Wars.
We need like a space Scranton, some like podunk middle of nowhere. They sell data pads or, you know.
Oh man, what would be the comparable? What is shipping paper? It's like, I can't even.
It's shipping paper. It just is. Like, they still need stuff to fill up the little containers for all the.
Oh, you know what? No. The show's called Tashi Station, and it's about Luke trying to get power converters. They're just selling power converters. And Leia is the secretary. Like, she plays Pam, sitting at the desk in the corner. C-3PO is the Dwight character. Han Solo is
no.
Is,
C-3PO has to be what was his face? Toby. He's like the very rules and regulations kind of guy.
That's true. Human resources. That'd
Creed would play himself.
Yeah, Creed would still be playing himself.
Yeah, he would still be.
For sure.
And not even.
R2 would play Oscar, probably.
I could dig it. I'd watch it.
We need to pitch that ASAP. Reminds me of when SNL did a version of The Office with Lord of the Rings.
Like Gandalf was the boss.
Yeah, it was Lord of the Reams was what they called it.
Saw it, they took it.
Well, let's move into this week's episode. We're going to go through a bunch of the remaining series, and a lot of these have less announced things than the ones we talked about last week. So there'll be some speculation, which is what you all are here for anyway. So the first project we're going to talk about is The Bad Batch, which is the most grounded in our understanding so far. The Bad Batch looks like it's going to be like Clone Wars Season 8. And it's kind of the same animation. It's characters from the Clone Wars, specifically from a short series arc that followed a group of, how many were there? Five? It's like the A-team.
Five now. Yeah, it's like an
A-team now with
thing.
Echo.
Yeah.
Yeah. It's like the A-team with BA and Face, and they all have their little special skill sets.
But they have the van. The van is the same. They just added rockets on it.
Dude, that'd be so cool. They do need their own like piece of transportation instead of just one of those drop ships. But yeah, I am excited for this. The trailer is out for this one, so mm-hmm. there is actual footage of the show, and it's a really well done trailer. I have to say it's one of my favorite Star Wars trailers. The way it quick cuts follows like the beat of the drum and the music that's playing behind. And the way it seems like the events of Order 66 are going to unfold in this series a little bit, which they kind of do. I mean, they do at the end of Clone Wars season 7 as well.
Yeah, but we saw it from the perspective of Rex and Ahsoka.
Right.
And when we saw season 7, when we first see the Bad Batch, it infers that it takes place just before these instances. So
yeah.
What happens during the events of Order 66, there's two questions I have. Did they go through with it? And I kind of feel like they didn't, you know, maybe because of the Bad Batch aspect, their implants.
It'd be interesting to know if they have like the implant.
Yeah.
Or if they avoided it because of their quote abnormalities or deformities.
Yeah. I think, and even just their personalities, they seem like the type that wouldn't go rank and file with the new Empire. So I feel like mm-hmm. from that perspective, they would have gone rogue. Maybe they'd be mercenaries or something. The second question I have is, do they end up meeting with Rex and Ahsoka? Because there's a big part of the timeline that we don't know about, you know, what happens to the both of them until we see them again in Rebels, which is like, what, almost 20 years later?
So, yeah, not quite, maybe 15 years later.
Yeah, but still there's a big chunk of time. Do they help them initially? Maybe help them escape? Do they, you know, make a reappearance later on in their lives? We don't know. And another character we see is Fennec Shand.
Yeah. So we met her weeks, or I guess we met her last year in the first season when they meet her in Gunslinger in The Mandalorian. But then she shows up again in the second season. So they're clearly trying to cement her as a pretty decent character. And then, she shows up in the animated version with her iconic, it's like an orange helmet, but it looks kind of like the helmet that the Death Star
pilots
laser beam operators had, like the split half sharp egg
standard issue laser beam operator helmet.
Yeah, for sure. That's interesting too. And I know we keep talking about all of these series, especially the Dave Filoni projects, having crossover potential or even culmination in some kind of single event or whatever. So getting some backstory for her and what her character might mean in the Book of Boba Fett seems like she's going to be a main character in that series. So it would be nice to learn a little bit more about her besides just like, oh, she's a sharpshooter and she got hired by gangs. It'd be nice to see how she started, how she got into that. And this being 15, no, wait. So, and she's like, I don't know, what, 40, 45 in The Mandalorian. And this is legit 25 years earlier.
Yeah. No, it definitely, so she, I got the impression.
She'd be that quite this young.
I got the impression that she was, I mean, not a kid, but she's very young. So this is probably where we see her start off or maybe early on in her career. And this is a long shot just because of the timeline. And it's confirmed that Rex was on the Battle of Endor. And Mandalorian takes place 5 years after the Battle of Endor. So if the clones were of the same age as Rex, they'd be like super old. So this is a long shot, but it could be we might see a live action Bad Batch in the events of the Book of Boba Fett if we see Fennec Shand there.
Oh, that's interesting.
Yeah.
For sure. Could be setting them up to come back later. Even, you know, we know we'll talk about it in a bit, but the Obi-Wan series seems like it's going to occur in this same kind of timeline because a lot of this seems to be right after the fall of the Republic and the period before, you know, the rebellion.
Mm-hmm.
So it could be even interesting if there's any crossover there too. Obviously that's live action, but Obi-Wan has made his way around the animated series and the fact that, and we'll get to, I guess we're going to keep jumping around, but the fact that Obi-Wan seems to have some kind of clash with Darth Vader makes me think he leaves Tatooine occasionally, which means he could, they could set that up in this show. Like, oh yeah, by the way, Obi-Wan sometimes leaves Tatooine to go check things out.
You know.
And so we get to see that happening, and maybe he runs into these clones. Because didn't these clones were in the Clone Wars episodes that they were in, they were with Cody's battalion, right? The was it the 212th, whatever? Cody was the one who was interacting with them, and yeah. Cody was Obi-Wan's clone commander.
Yeah.
So there could be some connection there, and that, you know, Cody's an awesome character anyway. So it would be cool to see. Maybe that's some kind of connection that happens. I don't know. Kind of obviously we're speculating here, but it would be interesting to see our boy Obi-Wan show up.
It's possible.
Yep. So I think that's all we know about the Bad Batch. The animation style, we'll say the animation style is similar, but it seems kicked up a notch. The same way like the season seven, like final season, the graphics were better than the previous six seasons.
You can you tell that they definitely got that season eight Investors Day money, you know, back put into the budget. So
they started depositing the Disney checks is really what started happening.
Yeah.
So yeah, the these graphics look awesome. The lighting seems more dramatic, and you know, from a we're both computer modelers, from the like the way the scenes are set up, there's a lot more action stuff happening on screen than just some of the early Clone Wars episodes were. Like there were like seven droids and you're like supposed to think that that's a full battalion or whatever, and now but now the computer animation is a lot more detailed and fully fleshed out, so it's very cool. So next we'll talk about the Acolyte, which is the only series of the ones that have been announced that seems to be located in the Old Republic or the High Republic time. Sorry, not the Old Republic, the High Republic, roughly about 200 years before the events of The Phantom Menace. There are a series of books that have been released recently under the banner of the High Republic that explore essentially the Jedi Order at its height, as how they describe it. It's, they were the most effective throughout the galaxy, keeping peace, doing what we're led to believe Jedi should be doing, and not what we end up seeing them doing in the prequel series. But they are respectable peacekeepers, and even some graphics from those series, you see a younger Yoda. When I say younger,
in a relative
600
sense.
Years old,
yeah,
but not the 800 year old that we learned to love. But then the Acolyte, that term is, it sounds dark to me. I feel like it gets associated with the Sith, and it seems like, you know, this is going to focus on, because we're in the same, this is still the period of like the rule of two for the Sith, right? There aren't thousands of Sith across the galaxy like there were in the Old Republic.
I mean, we know it goes as far back as the master of Sheev Palpatine, Darth Plagueis. And I mean, we were kind of, Mike and I were speculating, we don't think it may revolve around Darth Plagueis, but maybe during his training, possibly.
Definitely, I mean, Plagueis we know master. He wasn't human,
yeah,
but we don't know how old his species lived. So he totally could be a, you know, Yoda-like species where they live several hundred years. So maybe he is kind of in his prime or coming into his prime in this series.
I do agree that it definitely feels like we're going to be looking at the other side of the spectrum, you know, more on the dark side of things. And, you know, an acolyte, the word itself is usually utilized for someone who helps in rituals or, you know, things of a religious nature.
Yeah.
And it's a pretty strong word if it was applied to the Jedi, but I just get just the tone of the graphic for the title card definitely feels it's got those Sith vibes. Was it Kathleen Kennedy? She went off to describe the show as a mystery thriller with many shadowy secrets.
Yeah.
So I kind of feel
like I'm hoping it's not. I'm hoping it's not. Oh shoot! What's the show about? Like the serial killer, Dexter. I'm hoping it's not like that, where you're made to fall in love with this super awful, terrible, dark person, just because he's the main character.
I mean, Dexter was a pretty successful show. I never saw it, but
I mean, they make you start rooting for the guy who's killing people, and I don't.
Yeah,
it's a very uncomfortable feeling.
Maybe it might be one of those things where they look at it from the perspective of the Sith and the supposed acolyte or whoever it is that they focus on, maybe looking at those things and like, maybe we're the bad guys.
Yeah. I would love to see a younger Yoda. I know that's kind of feels like fan service almost, but it's hard to think about if they start showing Jedi, everyone's just going to be like, okay, where's Yoda? Why are we looking at everybody else? I guess we don't know when Yoda joins the Jedi Council, or so he could be. And it's hard to tell how his species ages too, right? Because Grogu is 50 years old in The Mandalorian, and he's still like very, infant like. And so you could easily just projecting
about the species themselves.
Yeah, if you kind of like project, if he's acting like a 3-year-old when he's 50, he could easily get to 200 or 300 years old before he's any kind of like adolescent, childlike personality. Maybe he ages much more quickly at some point, but a 600-year-old Yoda could be some guy in his like late 30s who is more like Qui-Gon or something like that.
And
out on the road has a Padawan.
Mm-hmm.
Let's see. This would be too early for him to be training Count Dooku, because I know he was an apprentice of
Yoda.
But it would be cool to see him sort of out and about and not just like sitting in the Jedi Temple.
Yeah.
For three movies. So, I mean, there's a lot here, and it's going to explore a whole new period. So there's a ton of new characters that are going to develop that I'm sure we've never heard of. Hopefully there's a few lingering strands that pull us back into the series. I think we're too close to that time period to not do something.
And I wonder if this was like
the
up.
Old Republic.
Yeah.
It makes sense because it's thousands of years before. But
I wonder, because they're really, with the books that are released, they're obviously setting the groundwork for the Acolyte, but potentially other whether it be movies or series
in between.
Exactly. This whole time, this specific time period has been unexplored thus far. So I think it would be very interesting to see what spins off from it. I think I'm excited for some new fresh content that still falls in line with the same feel of the Star Wars that we've come to know.
Yeah. It should be a good series.
Yeah.
So let's move on to Lando, which I've really, there's been nothing announced about it other than the logo, which I'm sure at this point could even still change. So this is entirely speculation, although it would be cool if this was some sort like the, they brought in Lando Calrissian played by Donald Glover in the Solo series.
Yeah,
so it could potentially be like a Solo 2. I forget, is this a movie or a series? I thought it was a series.
I was under the impression it was just a standalone movie, but
gotcha.
If it was a series, that'd be even better.
Yeah,
because
I was joking with you that it would be funny if this was framed. So, we've got Donald Glover and we're like, oh, that'd be cool to see him running around. But it would be funny if they framed the show kind of like How I Met Your Mother, with each episode opening with Billy Dee Williams, played, the original Lando Calrissian as an old man, talking about how he, stuff that he did, storylines. And then it flashes back to Donald Glover running around, and we could get the new Han Solo character. That would be pretty cool.
That would be great, honestly. And it's just framed exactly. There. It's Billy Dee Williams sitting in like in a reclining chair, boots on the table, and he's just talking to his supposed newfound daughter that we saw at the Rise of Skywalker. And she's just there, just like sitting to this old man's stories. And then,
oh, that's right. I forgot she was his daughter.
Yeah, it's heavily, I think it was confirmed, not in the movie, but it was confirmed like in the, in the book, in the novelization that she was his daughter taken from the First Order. So I think it would be interesting to develop on that. I was very disappointed that they literally threw that in the last 30 seconds of the movie. Like, wait, hold up, what?
Yeah, even wait, that character was like, she was put in and you're like, oh, she's cool. And then just kind of like, and by the way, she's going to ride a horse on a Star Destroyer and then like, then it'll just be over.
You're
like,
okay. Oh, by the way, she's Lando Calrissian's daughter. What?
Yeah.
No, we need more. We need more backstory. So I think it would be cool that it's just her sitting down, listening to the old man's stories and then Donald Glover. I was actually playing, I've been playing the Battlefront 2. I'm only just getting on it. And there's actually a part of the story where briefly you play as Lando Calrissian, cape and all.
Okay.
And you actually have to go through the mission. You go through the mission with the cape and everything. Like wherever he goes, the cape goes. And it reminds me of when we saw the Solo movie, he's waiting in the Millennium Falcon and he's just reliving on, he's like recording on his holo recorder some story.
Oh yeah, right.
It's like a,
the I forget what he has a name for it. It's like, you know, the Chronicles of Lando part two, or, you know.
That's what this is. I need more Chronicles of Lando.
Yeah, that's actually great. Is it? It could be, you know, these flashbacks. It's like Billy Dee Williams watching the little holo recorder.
Yeah.
Play back him talking about what he was doing.
Yeah, but the narration is still voiced by Bob Saget.
Yeah. But they have to film every intro sequence with the kids.
With the same kids.
Yeah, but they film them all at once. So after the series is 10 years old, they're not older.
And that's how I met your Aunt Robin.
Yeah.
I think you have a note here about the how did he get the rights, or how did he start up Cloud City in Bespin?
Yeah, and, I mean, that certainly is like an interesting... It's like a character twist for him in terms of like he was sort of this, you know, whatever, scoundrel, smuggler guy. We see him even in Rebels. He's doing the same thing. Mm-hmm. He's doing smuggling runs. But then when we meet him in Empire Strikes Back, he's, you know, he's a sort of a boring, legit dude running a large facility.
Yeah.
And maybe he won this in a fight, or he invested in it, or, you know, in some way he came into possession of and a leadership position of this very large operation. So,
and at some point he actually loses it, because in the storyline of Battlefront 2, immediately after within a year of the Battle of Endor, the Empire takes over Bespin. So Cloud City is like under Empire control. So he's worth a rebellion. He's a general, but he loses control of Bespin. So maybe they might explore as to how that happened.
You mean after Endor they took control of it, or
after? Huh. Because you have to sneak back onto Cloud City to get somebody, and it's all completely under Empire control.
So that makes me want. So at the, you know how George Lucas like re-released the original trilogy like 95 different times.
Yeah.
But one was more significant than the others.
My count.
97, you're right.
Yeah.
One was more significant than the rest when he added in all these CGI cutscenes.
Yeah.
And one was at the end of The Return of the Jedi, after the second Death Star blows.
Yeah.
He goes to all these other planets. Mm-hmm. And one of them is Cloud City. And they're all celebrating that the Empire was, or that at least the Death Star was destroyed. But I guess it's interesting. After that moment, then the Empire moved in and took it over.
Yeah, immediately after, Empire is like, oh, by the way, we need this city. It's now under Empire control. Like, oh, dang. Well, put away the fireworks.
Is Lobo in there?
Lobot, the guy with the, I don't know. I don't know. You don't see him. Okay. He's probably scrapped.
I always pronounce it French as if the T is silent. But Lobo. Is it Lobot?
It's Lobot, but I like the French pronunciation, Lobo. Okay. And something else I learned in that game, you know how I've confirmed that hyperspace was discovered by pilots looking at the Purgle farting. So the Tabana gas is a byproduct of other immense creatures that you have to fly past on your way to Cloud City. Huh. And they eat something in the air, in the atmosphere, and they release Tabana gas. So everything related to blasters and hyperdrives and pretty much every infrastructure in the Star Wars universe is as a result of some large animal farting. Was that on purpose from George Lucas? Probably not, but I'm gonna make it canon.
Okay.
We're gonna make it toilet canon.
I was gonna say that sounds more appropriately toilet canon than anything else we've ever joked about. That's great. Well, while we're in the gutter talking about toilets, why don't we take a quick bathroom break and come back to talk about Obi-Wan Kenobi and the rest of the series. We'll be right back.
This episode of Death Watch is also brought to you by Skull Square Design Company. We're also huge fans of The Mandalorian, as well as Star Wars in general. And we wanted to share that love by making gifts for our fellow fans of Mando and the Child. Whether you wanted some flair while enjoying your favorite beverage in Oga's Cantina, or wanted to covertly show your support to the Resistance while exploring Batuu, we've got gifts for everybody. And not just Star Wars fans, but Marvel and Disney fans too. Check us out at skullsquared.com or follow us on social media at skullsquared. That's skull with a C, as in,
see y'all real soon.
And we're back. And we're going to be kicking off this second part of the episode talking about the Obi-Wan Kenobi series. And I have to say, this is the one of this group that I'm the most excited for. Obi-Wan is personally my favorite character in all of the series. And this is like the darkest time of his life, in my opinion. Mm-hmm. We don't obviously see it yet, but right after the fall of the Jedi and the Republic and exile for two decades, that's kind of seems like what we're focusing on here. I think this will be an interesting look at the sort of the selflessness of Obi-Wan. We hear about it a little bit in Rebels when Ezra runs into him, when Maul's trying to trick him into finding Obi-Wan, and they have this like really endearing conversation about why Obi-Wan is here. And Darth Maul is obviously like reading his thoughts, and as they are so connected, you know, as adversaries, they kind of know each other better than anyone else in the galaxy. And Obi-Wan lets him know that the reason why he's here is only to make sure that the next generation of the Jedi survive, and that like there is justice into the future.
And for so a brief that moment in particular was very beautiful, because it for a brief moment they were actually on the same side, because Darth Maul only wanted, you know, he wanted power, but only to bring down the Sith for what the Sith did to him and his family. So there was that brief intersection where all he wanted to do was bring down the Emperor too. He was just going about it a different way. So, you know, just before he died, he says, you know, he acknowledges, is this the chosen one? And Obi-Wan goes, yep.
Yeah. That is a beautiful moment. And those are the types of, like, that's the Obi-Wan who I'm hoping to see, is someone who's, I mean, there's so much that can happen here. We've got him sort of settling into living on Tatooine. Hopefully there's a throwaway joke about how he decides to go by Ben Kenobi instead of Obi-Wan Kenobi, as if he's like tricking anybody and hiding his character.
Because there's so many Kenobis in the Star Wars universe, you know?
I know. wait, are you Obi-Wan? No, I'm Ben.
I'm his second cousin.
Totally different guy.
Yeah.
I mean, him sort of, there's, I think, definitely a potential for like, for him to be communing with, at this point, we know that Qui-Gon and Yoda have found ways to manifest themselves in the Force. So he could be, you know, meditating and speaking to them. Would love to have Liam Neeson or at least his voice come back.
Yeah.
In terms of like speaking to him and even mentoring him. I think they had an awesome sort of father-son dynamic, or at least like mentor-mentee dynamic in the first movie, that honestly, like, losing Qui-Gon is sad. It's too bad that they lost him. It's obviously important for the storyline to move forward, but had Qui-Gon lived and stayed around, I think things would have been so much different. So he's a really important character, and it'd be great to have him sort of have a cameo in this series and come back at least in voice form.
Yeah. And then, well, speaking of cameo, it's been confirmed that Hayden Christensen is also coming back. And
Hayden.
Man. And that there's going to be at least one showdown between Obi-Wan and Anakin. The question is, is it going to be sort of like a flashback, you know, like on Mustafar?
I can't imagine that's the take. So I initially thought that, like, oh, okay, they'll have them, because they said they're going to reprise their roles, or he's going to reprise his role, and that it could be flashbacks. But like, those movies were 20 years ago. And so having, or not 20 years ago, but like, I mean, not almost 20 years ago. So having a much older Hayden Christensen and a much, much older Ewan McGregor pretend to be those guys again, it would just, I think it wouldn't be very good. I think, you know, like what we were saying during the Bad Batch bit, that this is Obi-Wan is out and about in the galaxy trying to do something, either commune with Yoda or connect with some rebel cells, or maybe meet up with, we know that other Jedi do survive Order 66. We don't know who. Sometimes there's some that just pop up in other books and things like that, but it could be Obi-Wan connecting with them. And when he's doing that, he runs into Darth Vader.
Yeah.
And that's Hayden Christensen in the suit this time.
That's what I would love to see. I would love to see that. Even if, you know, Hayden Christensen isn't in face, at least he's in character. And that would be amazing.
Yeah. Well, even like, you know, in Rebels, when Ahsoka fights Darth Vader and she busts open his helmet, like she gets a clip of it and you can see his eyes. Mm-hmm. If there's like some kind of moment like that, or his helmet gets knocked off, or, you know, something where you get a better look at Hayden underneath it. Because I suppose, is this going to be Darth Vader voiced by
James Earl Jones?
By James Earl Jones.
I was thinking about that. I have no idea. We have no idea, man. As much as I want to see Hayden Christensen again, I don't want to see a version of Darth Vader that isn't voiced by James Earl Jones.
Yeah. I think it would be, I really don't know how to do it. And I think, what did James Earl Jones just turned like 91 or something?
Right.
81. He's getting very old. And so obviously I want him to live forever, but being realistic, there's not much longer before he can, you know, at least live voice this. I suppose they could go back and pull audio clips, or, you know, have him read every word in the dictionary in multiple different voice formats. I think it's got to be voiced by him, at least when he has the helmet on. I suppose if like the helmet gets knocked off and you can hear Hayden's voice underneath it,
maybe that's that would be something get away with it.
Yeah, my guess is that Obi-Wan's probably going to connect with some other Jedi remnant or something, and it gets caught by, because I mean, we know this whole period that Darth Vader has been hunting down these Jedi. He has the what are they called? Not the executioners, who are his minion guys who go hunt down the Jedi.
It's oh man, I know,
like the second sister, the seventh sister,
The son, Inquisitors.
Inquisitors, that's right. We know that they're, you know, out and about during this whole period. So I think that's probably where a clash comes.
Yeah.
And yeah, I mean, so Obi-Wan and Darth Vader are the original lightsaber battle, and that fight is nowhere near what other lightsaber battles look like. Yeah. Even the ones that are Darth Vader and Luke later in the series are more kinetic than that one was. It was kind of two guys just sort of gently prodding at each other with sticks. There's a fan movie where they sort of animated part of it and had them a character like someone else dress up like Obi-Wan, and they kind of did the face match, whatever. Mm-hmm. And that one is pretty awesome. It's them actually like flinging each other around in the Force and very aggressive lightsaber battle. So it would be cool to see that happen. And we know Ewan McGregor and Hayden Christensen are both good lightsaber duelists. They picked it up a ton in the prequel series. And I've seen Ewan McGregor on talk shows recently doing it. He still has the moves. It's pretty cool.
Yeah.
So they could totally do a very kinetic and engaging lightsaber duel. Would love to see that.
Yeah.
I wonder, I'm trying to think if there's like even a crossover potential with the Jedi Fallen Order video game, because that's also this kind of same period. Mm. I haven't seen any mention of that, but Cal Kestis, the Jedi apprentice who you play as, is alive during this period, and he could theoretically come in contact with Obi-Wan. It would be nice to see him make an on-screen appearance and get him out of the video game.
Yeah.
We talked about him being a potential person who listened to Grogu on the Seeing Stone or whatever. But it'd be great to pull him out of the video game and into like on-screen canon.
Yeah. I think that'd be amazing to see.
Yeah. Yeah, and then I guess the rest of it is, I guess there could be some occasional glimpses of young Luke on Tatooine growing up.
Like a kid.
Some comic book stories that talk about times when Obi-Wan saves Luke from sand people or other things totally could come up. It seems like maybe that Luke had met him a couple of times, like he knew who he was. And it seemed like more than just a like, oh, I heard about a guy named Ben Kenobi, but mm-hmm. like I know him and I've talked to him.
There are some comics that talk about how Uncle Owen confronts Obi-Wan, you know, stay away from Luke. We know why you're here.
Sure.
So there's also that family dynamic of Owen is trying to protect Luke. So is Ben, but they're going about it two different ways, two different reasons. So there's going to be that interesting dynamic.
Definitely. So I'm definitely looking forward to this. This series is filming now. It seems like it's not going to be out until sometime in 2022. Mm-hmm. We'll have to wait like everything else at this point. I think Bad Batch is the only one of these series that are going to come out this year. We don't have even a release date for Bad Batch. My guess is it'll start playing on May 5th, or they'll announce a start date for it on May 5th, May 4th.
Yeah, that'd be amazing. But May 4th. I have a feeling it's definitely going to come out just before or around the time of Book of Boba Fett, because we know that Book of Boba Fett is coming out later this year, right?
In December,
and which stars Fennec Shand. And Fennec Shand's also going to be in Bad Batch. So probably in order to introduce certain aspects of her in her present timeline, they're going to have to talk about her in her earlier timeline through the Bad Batch. So I have a feeling they might coincide.
Okay. Anyway. It's hard to tell how many episodes are going to be in this season. I mean, The Mandalorian had 8 episodes. Mm-hmm. The Clone Wars had like 20 episodes, like a more traditional
television. Well, the last season of Clone Wars had 8 episodes too.
Was it?
Yeah. It was about like 7 or it was like, or was it 6? I think it was like 6 episodes. The last season of Clone Wars?
Season 7.
Yeah. Those three episodes with those sisters, the Space New York Ricans. There was three episodes with the Bad Batch, and then there was Ahsoka. And then there was four with like the Siege of Mandalore, and then her experiencing Order 66 in like the last episode.
Yeah, you just mentioned like 14 episodes.
That's at best, that's seven.
12. There's 12. Oh, the final 12? Season has okay. 12.
All right.
I just looked it up.
All right. I am wrong.
Yeah, as usual. And I am humble.
Yep.
So if you think even 12 episodes, if they come out, if Book of Boba Fett starts in December and you back out 3 months from that, November, October, September, yeah, maybe your end of summer is when this starts. And I guess, yeah, we'll see. Mm-hmm. I'm hoping it's sooner than end of summer, but we'll see.
All right.
So next on the list is Andor, which is a 6-episode series, I think. Short, as is Obi-Wan Kenobi. That's a short series, one season, I think one and done. They're not planning to expand it. Andor is similar, following Cassian Andor from Rogue One, the sort of the rebel spy. Don't know a ton about this. There was a sizzle reel that came out showing some of the behind the scenes stuff and the people who are in charge of the set design and some of the character, like the costumes and stuff. We're talking about how this is being made like the movies, that they've been part of Lucasfilms for years. So they said the same energy that the movies had is on this set in terms of level of detail and attention to all of the specific, yeah, you know, character details and things like that. So very, obviously a very high level of detail. I think knowing what Cassian Andor, you know, how the end of his story arc, should we say, how it intersects with the original series, the original trilogy, I think I can't tell what the time frame is of this. Like it could be just, you know, weeks before the movie Rogue One, and it's just some of the last few details that fall into place. It could be, you know, it could be starting at the end of the fall of the Republic and showing a young Cassian who's like, I don't know, 5 or 6, and maybe similar to Din Djarin.
I think he said in the movie that he was 6 years old when he, you know, started fighting, figuratively speaking, mm-hmm, of course. But something, yeah, may have happened, kind of like you mentioned, like how Din Djarin started. He was a young boy and he was thrust into a new life because of the events of war. Cassian Andor was no different. Poe Dameron also had very similar beginnings as well. So what it could be, first episode is introducing Kid Cassian and, yeah, how he had to grow up in basically in this new world with the rebels. I feel like it's going to be a longer period of time, but it's going to be a different kind of buddy cop movie with him and K2SO. So
it's going to be dark. I can't tell when K2SO comes into the picture. They do seem to have like a long-term rapport. Right.
I feel like that's what's going to happen. It's going to introduce the two together. Like, oh, by the way, we repurposed this Imperial droid. You got to work with them now.
Yeah. Also, I feel like C-3PO, though, seems to have a long-running rapport with people, and his memory gets wiped all the time. So even though he's been around for 60 years, he doesn't remember anybody from more than a few years ago.
Yeah.
But yeah, that would be cool. And then I think, now that we're saying that, if there's any overlap with the Rebels series, or it's so hard to not be like, oh, let's bring our favorite characters back into every single new show. So it probably would be nicer if this was separate from that. And I guess even the Rebels TV series shows all of these Rebel cells were separate for a very long time just before they attack the Empire, they get together. So it's totally unlikely that he would run into other Rebel cells that we are already familiar with.
No, and I'd be happy if it stayed independent that way. And yeah. I noticed that for these new releases, each of them have a different, they're varying themes. You know, some of them are comedic in nature, some of them are more dramatic, some of them are a little bit, maybe a little bit more on the mystical side. Andor, I think you commented that it might have like a very spy thriller 007 kind of feel to it. Maybe not as fast paced as a 007 film can be sometimes. It's more action packed than it is, you know, than like a spy flick.
Yeah. Hardcore parkour.
Parkour.
Yeah, but I do think it could definitely have that aspect. You know, Cassian doesn't, I mean, he seems like a pretty smooth guy. Maybe not necessarily a tuxedo and bow tie, but someone who could smooth talk his way out of a situation.
He's definitely but when we see him in the beginning of Rogue One, he's very hardened. He's very, very jaded, you know, like you got to do what you got to do kind of guy. So maybe it'll build up as to what exactly has happened to him and the things he's had to do to get to where he's at when we first see him in Rogue One.
Yeah, he does have that line. He's like, he says, I forget exactly what it is, but he's like, I've done a lot of junk for this. I'm not giving it now. Like, I'm going to make all of those bad decisions worth it. So you can, I think it's going to be very dark. But, you know, it's definitely going to explore a character we haven't learned a whole lot about. He got built up very quickly in Rogue One and then, spoiler alert, didn't make it. So let's move on to Visions. I don't really know anything about this one. I think you looked a bit more into it other than the fact that it's an animated series.
It is an animated series, but from what I can glean, this is off of Wikipedia, that it's basically some new stories or maybe a retelling of some old stories via short film, but the animated short film, but through some of the top Japanese anime studios. Okay. So it will definitely offer, it says it'll bring 10 fantastic visions from several of the leading Japanese anime studios, offering a fresh and diverse cultural perspective to Star Wars. Personally, I've mentioned this before, I would love to see Star Wars anime. And
I think that would be cool.
I think it'd be very cool. And I've seen instances of it, like short fan-made films. There's one especially where they're TIE pilots. And I thought that was very well done. It had a very like Gundam Wing feel to it. And then there's some more recent releases. I think it's not Galaxy of Heroes or something like that, where they keep the audio from the movies, but then they repaint it with a more cartoonish anime style.
It's like a kid oriented animated series, and they're like small, they're like 30-second clips,
they're like vignettes. But I think even those were pretty well done. Like, I feel like there's a lot more expression in those scenes.
They're very stylized
now, right? So I would love to see something that's a little bit more long format. Do I want to see a lot of it? Not necessarily. I think it'd be a nice little treat to have a season worth of material that you can always look back at. I would want it to be new stories though, rather than just rehashing old scenes. I think The Matrix did something like this, actually.
They did.
Several years ago, right? And it was a combination. Some of it was film format and some of it was animated format. But it was like moments throughout their timeline or retelling of different scenes or the reason why. So I think something like that would be very interesting to see in the story, you know, taking place.
You know what would be great, actually, is if they took some of the From a Certain Point of View storylines that are like they're directly adjacent to the stories that we know, but they aren't exactly the stories we know.
So I need to see people complaining about the guardrails, like an animated version. Like, why are there no guardrails here, man? I don't understand it. If Seth MacFarlane could actually, I'm pretty sure he'd be so happy if we just snuck an episode that was made by Seth MacFarlane.
Well, he did that when they did the Family Guy Blue Harvest movies.
Yeah, but I mean like official sanction, not
not a Family Guy parody. Okay.
But if he had the Family Guy characters, that'd be amazing. Just like old Herbert as the pal, hey there, Luke. So you got your lightsaber.
He plays Obi-Wan. You're describing Harvest movie.
Oh no, that's right. And Stewie is the Emperor.
Han Solo is Stewie is Darth Vader. Stewie is
the Emperor. That's right.
Stewie's Darth Vader. Peter is Han Solo.
Hi, Luke. You want to go to Tosh's station?
Luke is played by.
I got some power converters in the basement.
Lois is Leia.
Yeah.
Meg is.
Jabba.
Who Meg is? Jabba. Yeah. So yeah, I mean, something that would be not like that, but the animated series I think would be cool.
Yeah,
even to get like a Dragon Ball Z style.
Oh man, I'm thinking Star about Wars. That would be amazing. Like, his midichlorian count is over 9,000.
That'd be great. It's like a remake of Phantom Menace when he talks to Obi-Wan, when Qui-Gon talks to Obi-Wan on his. Lady's razor.
Naruto. Like, lady shaver.
Yeah, take this blood care. Like, it's over 9,000. I hope there's enough Dragon Ball Z crossover in our show.
Oh, please. For that That'd joke be amazing.
To fly. So, yeah, so those would be cool. And it's, like you said, it's a different format for Star Wars, which would be nice.
Mm-hmm.
So then the next one we're going to talk about is Droid Story. Again, very unknown about what this is. It seems to me like it's geared towards children, like more specifically than even the regular Star Wars series are for children.
Yeah.
But I think, you know, one of the things about the Star Wars movies is that the droids are, like, my kids love the droids and they're obviously there for the children. From my perspective, like whenever R2 or C-3PO make a joke, my kids are laughing at it more so than when Han Solo is making like a smarmy little like sarcastic joke.
Yeah.
And so I think looking at a series that focuses on characters like that, whether it's those two or Chopper from Rebels or maybe it's totally new characters, but that they are front and center in the storyline, and it really, I think, would be a kid's show.
Yeah. And a great opportunity to make some cool new toys and make some new merchandise.
Yeah. Remote control, droids and things like that. But yeah, I think it would be rather like the humans end up being almost like the teachers and adults in Charlie Brown, or they're just like, wah, 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 wah. Like you're not paying attention to any of the people, you're paying attention to the droid. I mean, like Clone Wars would occasionally focus on the droids only. And those were interesting, and maybe they're just looking at the success of those and pulling it out into its own series.
Something so I've cool. observed about the Star Wars universe is that you can tell who is a more empathetic person by the way that they deal with droids. And you somehow are drawn to like those characters more because of the way they interact with droids. And like Poe Dameron, Rey, Luke, they all have, it's not that they just, you know, respect the droids. They actually care and talk to the droids as if the droids were people. And if you were to equate droids to, let's say, dogs in this universe, as humans psychologically are more drawn to people that like dogs and like interacting with dogs because it shows empathy for something that is not human.
That's an interesting comparison.
I don't know if that's the way that they were written, but then add to the fact that like dogs, droids have personality. They can understand things. They can do certain things. You know, the droids in the story.
The Star Wars universe doesn't really have pets. Like,
right.
We don't. I know that there's a joke in The Mandalorian about Grogu being Mando's pet.
Yeah.
And that's like the only comment referring to a pet that I recall. I think Jabba has that little weird rat thing that laughs at Luke Skywalker.
Had a name, like he was a character.
Yeah.
You know, he was a Muppet, but he was
gets
still a character.
He gets roasted on Navarro.
Oh.
But yeah, there's not a lot of pets in this like whole galaxy, but the droids are kind of treated that way, and that like they're not like me, but they are semi-sentient and kind of are they do relate to them kind of like pets. But you're right, you can judge the character of someone based on how they treat a droid.
I find
why nobody likes Han Solo.
Nobody. Han Solo's
like, shut him up or I will.
I know this is far-fetched, but if Droid Story ends up being Toy Story with C-3PO with a cowboy hat, and then R2-D2 with like the purple and green, like, you know, color scheme.
I don't know, man.
I don't think that's what I want. I don't want to see that.
Yeah.
But if they threw that in as an Easter egg, like, that'd be great.
Clearly could be a Pixar animated series.
That'd be great.
We'll see. All right. The next one is Rogue Squadron. And this one is kind of like nostalgic for me, even though it hasn't happened yet. But like Rogue Squadron was, you know, that's the name of the X-Wing group that Luke joined up with to fight the Death Star in A New Hope, and carries on through the rebellion and into the resistance period as well. Mm-hmm. And, you know, led by Wedge Antilles, who's kind of this very like tertiary character in terms of like has very few speaking roles. But he comes up in the Rebels series. You first meet him as an Imperial pilot who tries to defect and becomes a resistance pilot or rebel pilot. And he sticks it on all the way through past the end of the Empire and the beginnings of the First Order. And I think this movie comes in after or during the sequel series, following kind of there's an animated series called The Resistance or Rise of the Resistance. And they, you know, it's going to be focusing on Wedge Antilles and his group. There were a series of now non-canon Legends books about Rogue Squadron that I read when I was a kid that focused on this group. And, you know, X-Wings are my favorite ship in the series as well. Mm-hmm. So I think there's a lot of cool potential here. The movie itself is being directed by, totally blanking on her name. Her father is an Air Force pilot, and she's very connected to Patty Jenkins. So there's, I think, a lot of potential there for a cool sort of militaristic look at, you know, an action movie.
So what I've seen, well, first of all, I don't mean to correct you, but Rogue Squadron, although was there during the Battle of Yavin, the members of Rogue Squadron were there during the Battle of Yavin. They were formed after the Battle of Yavin, with Luke being one of them. He formed it with Wedge. So like the surviving, he was in Red Squadron, and there was Gold Squadron, the bombers. And from what we saw in Rogue One, there was Blue Squadron, but they were all destroyed. So it was just Red and Gold during the Battle of Yavin. But immediately afterward, they formed Rogue Squadron. And the second thing is that from what's being discussed about the movie is that it's actually going to be a new generation of fighter pilots. Okay. So when this takes place, could be towards the end of the rebellion. Could it be maybe the formations of the New Republic, which that could also tie into Rangers of the New Republic? I don't know just yet. I would also really hope to see that this is there's going to be a cameo by Wedge Antilles, or at the very least, you know, talking about Wedge and Luke as pilots. Rather than Luke as a Jedi, you know, make him a bit more human. I'm excited for it because I love playing, you know, N64 gang here. Got to throw in those, you know, with the cheat codes like Dead Dak. I loved, you know, reliving those scenes, especially like in the Battle of Hoth, you know, taking down the AT-ATs. So you know, talking about themes, I feel like for Rogue Squadron, it's definitely going to be a lot more, you know, action packed. I hope it's not Top Gun. I hope there isn't any space volleyball.
Oh man, Top Gun would be so baller. I have to disagree with you there. I would love to see Goose and Maverick just slamming beach volleyballs on Wedge and
on Tatooine.
That would be some really good times.
Yeah. It has been said that there's going to be stuff pulled from Legends. Patty Jenkins, she's bringing stuff in from the old, you know, from books and novels and such. So it's kind of like what Filoni and Favreau are doing. You know, it may not be canon, but they are calling out stuff that is from Legends to make it canon. I hope, though, and this isn't any disrespect to Patty Jenkins as a director, you know, I hope that this is because it's a different franchise. It's kind of like Rian Johnson's not a bad director, but he's a bad Star Wars director, in my opinion. Like, Patty Jenkins is not a bad director, but she's not a great superhero director either, because Wonder Woman should be flushed down the toilet cannon, in my opinion. It wasn't great. It wasn't that great. But in my opinion, yeah. But if this is something that's more close to home for her,
yeah,
I feel like it'd be more of a passion project, and it will, and because there's a lot of source material to pull from, and a lot of Disney money also to pull from, I have high hopes for it.
Yep, it could be very cool. Okay, so finally, of the new projects, like, on screen, they've talked a little bit about Taika Waititi being given a movie or something like that, assigned a movie. Nothing has been even announced from Disney in terms of something official or a title or anything. So there's really nothing to talk about here other than what we hope is this is like a literal Star Wars comedy movie and not like a Star Wars movie with the classic elements of comedy from a movie, but it's actually like a rom-com, like Meet the Parents for like Meet the Hutts, where like the intro, like, Jabba the Hutt was a lonely old man on Tatooine until he met the love of his life. Whatever that woman was with the long lips, mouth, whatever weird thing from his palace. I don't know. It would be great to have an actual comedy, because yeah, that's kind of his bread and butter.
Yeah, he's perfect for that. Like, even with the Thor movies, you know, they were something that I really liked about Force Awakens, and why I felt it was superior to the other sequels, is that it did a very, very good job in peppering, you know, action and drama, but also comedy. Mm-hmm. You know, like breaking up those comedic moments to the point that were unexpected. And Taika Waititi, he did that more on the comedic side, but he did that in Thor. And I think he's directing the fourth Thor movie too. But if he does that with this one, per his Kiwi style of comedy, I would be happy for it, because that's something I felt like has been lacking sorely in the Star Wars universe. Something that is a lot more like lighthearted, but not campy, just something that's like sarcastic.
And just for those who may, Taika Waititi is the voice of IG-11 from The Mandalorian, correct?
Yeah.
So
if he directed the name that sounds weird also.
And you missed it. Yeah, he directed that episode, and he's the voice of the droid.
I feel if he came back, and most likely he's going to star himself in some role, because that's also something that he does a lot in his own movies. So like in the episode, in the instance of The Mandalorian, he voiced the robot in Jojo Rabbit. He was Hitler for some reason. But he was, if we see him coming in as, honestly, Space if Hitler. Taika Waititi came in as a Space, no, that's the Emperor. Actually, that'd be great if Taika Waititi did a version of the Emperor.
Yeah. No, if it's literally Spaceballs or some kind of Mel Brooks style,
humor. That I would want to see.
Yeah, that'd be good.
The Schwartz is strong with this one.
Yeah. Okay, so that's all for that made-up movie. I do want to mention, a couple weeks ago, they announced that the sort of all of the gaming stuff is being incorporated under a new branding for... They call it Lucasfilm Games. That really doesn't mean a whole lot, although what they've mentioned is, I think EA Sports has had, or not EA Sports, EA Games
it's
has had.
It's in the game.
Yeah. They've had an exclusive deal with them for the last eight years or so, making Star Wars games, and that deal ends this year or has ended. It doesn't mean that EA is not going to get to make games, but... they are not sole source anymore. So they made Jedi Fallen Order. I hope that they're making Jedi Fallen Order 2. Mm-hmm. That's not announced, but I think if they're not going to bring Cal Kestis into TV shows or movies, they really at least need to give him some more video game space.
Yeah. I would be comfortable with that, to be honest, just to keep him in that medium of just the video games.
Yeah, but that maybe game was pull in great. Some of the on-screen characters into the game just to make it feel a little more realistic, but well, maybe keep him in the game.
Seer and Cal Kestis, they did not just the motion capping, but the also facial captures of the actual actors. These are real actors, so it would make sense. It wouldn't be that hard to pull these characters into the realm of film, you know, even as a cameo. But I also would be okay with just keeping it in that format, just to keep things a little bit organized.
Sure.
I'd be disappointed if they didn't release a Fallen Order 2.
Yeah. It's like Dash Rendar from the whatever N64 Knights Empire.
I know which one you're talking about.
Yeah, he flies a Millennium Falcon style cruiser ship, and but anyway, he doesn't make it in it.
Shadow of the
Shadow of the Empire.
Shadow of the Empire. That was a
I love that
great game. But though, looking back, I was looking at old YouTube videos of it, and I'm like, wow, that thing was blocky as heck. How do we even get through some of those levels, man?
It's crazy what passed for incredible back then. For men of a certain age. So the other thing about this, though, is that they announced a new open world Star Wars game. Mm-hmm. And to be honest, I feel like they beat us to the punch. I wrote these notes down for this episode a couple of weeks ago, but I was saying I would love an open world game that's kind of like No Man's Sky meets KOTOR, where you have Star Wars storyline and objectives and developments, but you also have this galaxy of hundreds of planets that just exist. Some of them you've never even heard of that you can just go to. And, I was even saying if it was something like RuneScape in the Star Wars galaxy, where there's 40 or 50 different types of skills that you can do, and you can just go explore any of those or all of the skills and work your way around the galaxy, buy your own ships.
There's so much potential. And even the example of No Man's Sky, which is not a Ubisoft, franchise. I forget who made it. But the mechanics of the game may seem boring to more casual players. Or maybe more action-packed players. But what I appreciated about that game is that if you want to get, you can literally go anywhere in the universe, but you got to work for it. Like, you got to harvest even the hyperdrive fuel to get to where you want to go. And if they did something similar, maybe not as complex or lengthy, but if they did something similar, I think that'd be interesting, because that'd be a way of limiting how many people get to a certain spot at the same time. You know, it'll feel like a grind, and there are people who would enjoy that. I myself included, I like exploring. I like the fact that I have to work to want to get to a certain point, but I don't want it to be as long-winded, so that I can explore as much of the universe, the Star Wars universe, as possible. And like you mentioned, like different classes and different skill sets. If they made it so that it was like the new Old Republic game, where you can play as like a Jedi class, Sith class, mercenary class, bounty hunter, you know, all those things.
Yeah.
The opportunities are immense.
I almost feel like you have to take Jedis out of it. Otherwise, just everyone ends up being a Jedi. do you want to be a guy who farms moisture? Or do you want to have a laser sword and fly around and defeat the bad guys?
To a degree, I probably think that that's going to be the Obi-Wan series. He's a guy with a laser sword who also has to farm moisture just to get by.
So which of these things that we've talked about today are you most looking forward to, Chris?
Personally, Rogue Squadron. Bad Batch, I have, good expectations for. I really don't know how they can go wrong, because they've already had a pretty good format so far. So it's almost like expected to be good.
Yeah.
Rogue Squadron is up in the air. My childhood is at stake here. So if they were to, I'd be very disappointed if they weren't able to deliver it. But the visions too. I'm also really excited for the anime style news stories that they'll be coming up with. I'm interested to see that.
Yeah. I'm definitely, keyed in onto the Obi-Wan series, and I have high expectations for it. That's all I can really say. It's gotta be good. And I think the Lando story could be cool if they do what we hope for. So I do want to give a quick shout out to some of our youngest listeners, Isaiah and Aaron, who are some burgeoning Lego animators. They created this awesome stop motion animation and their own original Mandalorian screenplay. You should check out their YouTube channel, Amazing Films. That's the word amazing spelled with an O. You can check a clip on our Instagram, but these guys put together a whole stop motion animation of a quick story, and it's pretty awesome, and it's cool to see the next generation of Star Wars fans coming along behind us. So great work, guys. Keep it up.
So that's all for this episode. Thank you all for joining us.
If you like this episode, please subscribe, share, or write a review on Apple Podcasts. A lot of you have done this, and it's helping our show get seen by others. And the more of you that do it, the more of you will hear it.
Also, please follow us on Instagram if you aren't already, at Death Watch Podcast. You can follow us on Twitter at Death Watchcast. And you can also join us on TikTok at Death Watchcast. And as usual, if you have any comments or omissions or something you want to see in an upcoming episode, feel free to email us. That's deathwatchpodcast@gmail.com. And we'd love to feature it on future episodes.
Thanks for listening. This is The Way.
This is The Way.